You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The atmospheric rivers that pounded California in the first weeks of the year cut a wide swath of destruction and claimed the lives of at least 22 people across the state. In Sacramento alone, the January storms toppled nearly 1,000 trees, crushing homes and cars. A few months later, we're now learning the wave of storms in January alone cost Sacramento millions of dollars, making it one of the most expensive storm stretches for the city in decades. And Sacramento is a snapshot of the economic impact and challenges the rest of the state faces, as some experts warn that these powerful storms will become even more expensive in the years to come. Joining us now to share their reporting on the financial impact of the January storms and the bigger picture is CAP Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb and environmental reporter Manola Sakaita. Kristen and Manola, thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Okay, so this is a duo from CAP Radio. What inspired both of you to collaborate on this story? Kristen, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so back during the storms, our managing editor, Nick Miller, suggested I put in a public records request with the city to see how much the city spent in that hectic period. So I filed the request at the end of January and got all the records in mid-March. Those brought up larger questions for me, and I thought it would be great to collaborate with Manola because our coverage areas, city government and the environment, overlap here.
Yeah, and just to add to that, there's so much work we're doing around extreme weather when it comes to preparing and planning. I mean, so many cities across the state are doing climate action plans, but associated with all that work and all that anticipation for what's to come is this huge cost, and I was really curious about what that looks like, you know, at least in this one example.
Yeah, I mean, the first weeks of the year were just devastating. Kristen, how does the city manage atmospheric rivers, and how was that system put to the test at the beginning of this year?
Sacramento is surrounded by levees, so anytime it rains, atmospheric river or not, water doesn't naturally drain out. It's sort of in a bowl. And the city relies on more than 100 storm water lift stations that pump water out to creeks, canals, or the Sacramento and American rivers. When atmospheric river storms hit for days on end in January, crews manage those systems 24/7. It got especially hectic when strong winds caused power outages because they had to hook up generators to keep them running. Here's Philip Meyer, a supervising plant operator, explaining what they do during heavy rain.
Throughout the duration of the storm, we're making sure that we have power there. We're making sure that all of the pumps are running accurately, and then we're watching the levels of water that are in all of our wet wells because that's an indicator on, are we keeping up with it, or is our system becoming overcome by the amount of water that's coming down? So all of that is monitored, and then you have employees from all different kinds of trades. That's operators, electricians, instrument techs, machinists, generator technicians that are constantly going out to all the sumps and throughout the combined system that is just making sure that everything's working, and they're resetting pump faults, they're fixing equipment at the sites, the pumps possibly, or the valves possibly. So we want to keep water moving, and we want to keep it below ground. So that's our main focus constantly.
Yeah, I've toured some of those stations, and you know, some of them are discreetly in neighborhoods. You wouldn't think it. But yeah, there's a lot of them. So you reviewed like hundreds of pages of city documents, and you were able to find an estimated cost of the impact to the city of Sacramento from New Year's Eve to really about mid-January. And the total was nearly $4 million. Were you able to break down what this estimate includes?
Yeah, so it includes public records from the city's Department of Utilities, Public Works, and the 311 division. There are about 350 pages. The estimate covers filling potholes, clearing trees, and repairing sidewalks, plus expenses for overtime, patrolling levees, and using generators. But the nearly $4 million doesn't include storm-related costs for other city departments like police and fire. It also doesn't cover expenses that the city paid after that roughly 20-day period. I ran the number by the city's Director of Emergency Management, Daniel Bowers, and he said while the city is still going through the recovery process, the $4 million is a good estimate.
Yeah, going through all of these documents, was there anything else that surprised you?
I didn't expect to see so many photos. Besides spreadsheet-like documents and summary tables, there were photos attached to public injury and property loss reports. Lots of gnarly-looking trees knocking down fences. And there was also at least one picture of a tractor clearing debris from a canal. These damages were caused by both privately owned and city trees.
Even though the beginning of this year was severe, I mean, Sacramento has experienced severe weather and flooding and high wind events in the past. So how did January compare to previous storms that the city has had to overcome?
The emergency management director says January's stormy period was one of the more expensive the city has recorded in the past few decades. But Bauer said the city has experienced windstorms in the past few years that have cost several million dollars. Generally, the city tries to pay for storm damages with insurance first. Then, if there's a state or federal disaster declaration, it tries to get reimbursement. Here's Bowers with some context on damage from a couple of years ago.
We had a windstorm that, for example, knocked down a couple of trees into one of our sump stations. That alone, that destruction was $750,000 just for that one item. Now, that was covered primarily by insurance, so it didn't cost the Lost City out-of-pocket expense or anything, and it wasn't eligible for reimbursement because, again, the insurance was covering it. But that was that same year, large mudslides collapsed down on Highway 1 over in Monterey County. So there was some pretty significant regional and statewide damage as well on that. So anytime those types of damages, you know, you accumulate your costs in anticipation of a potential disaster declaration in order to seek reimbursement.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking with Cap Radio reporters Kristen Lamb and Manola Sakaida about the economic impact of the winter storms on the city of Sacramento. Okay, Manola, as we know, the majority of counties in California were impacted by this series of atmospheric rivers across the state. So Sacramento is really a snapshot of the financial impact. What did you learn when it came to the bigger picture and climate challenges that are facing communities across the state?
Right. So what we know moving forward is that the cost for dealing with atmospheric rivers is going to go up because of climate change. And, you know, to back up a little bit there, a lot of people that are familiar with California's climate are probably familiar with this phrase, but California is often described as the land of extremes. So
the most variable, like,
yeah,
weather and climate, right?
Exactly.
In North America or something. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're just this really great example of a huge swath of land where you see these huge variable climates, weather extremes, you know, atmospheric rivers, drought periods, you know, many dry years, and then interrupted occasionally by a really wet year like this past winter. So that isn't out of the ordinary. But what researchers told me is out of the ordinary is that atmospheric rivers are going to get more severe with climate change. That means, you know, bigger storms, stronger storms. And that causes more damage for communities because of flooding and damage to buildings, things like that, things that we were, you know, looking at together. And we also saw how the January storms took down, you know, trees all over Sacramento. And just the cost of that alone was so much. And that's just a piece of the damage. So, yeah, the cost of these storms is already high, obviously. But I wanted to learn more. So I talked to Tom Coringham. He's a researcher at UC San Diego who studies the economic impacts of extreme weather. Through his research, he's found a rough estimate of their current cost in California and in the U.S.
For the Western United States, for the 11 Western states, the cost of atmospheric rivers averaged about just over $1 billion a year and accounted for more than 84% of total flood damages in the Western United States. California actually accounts for just over half of the total damages, so over $600 million a year.
And, you know, like you mentioned, California is this huge area of land, and we're all coastline, so it's not surprising that we bear the brunt of those costs. So, yeah, we're really just on the front lines when it comes to receiving the impacts of atmospheric rivers.
Yeah, and we're just talking about flooding and wet weather in terms of extreme weather. And obviously, California goes through other types of costly extreme weather as well. Mm-hmm. Wildfires come to mind. When you spoke with researchers at UC San Diego who are really studying these economic impacts, right, what stood out to you most from the conversations that you were having?
Yeah, Tom, that researcher that I mentioned, wanted to emphasize that the costs aren't super consistent from year to year. You know, like we mentioned, there's these periods of dryness and then occasional wetness. So it's not always easy to say this is the cost per year. So that's why he kind of, you know, averaged it out. But that doesn't mean that these estimates aren't helpful. They can still give us an idea of what's coming and remind us of what we can do to prepare. And even though a key takeaway from our conversation is that these costs are going up no matter what, we still have some control over exactly how much.
We expect costs associated with atmospheric rivers to triple by the end of the century under a high emissions scenario. If we're able to limit greenhouse gas emissions over the coming decades, we may be able to reduce that to just a doubling of damages. So whatever happens, we're expecting an increase in damages.
Okay. And obviously, California has these robust climate initiatives, right? And these goals that the state wants to accomplish. Sacramento as well. I mean, that city is just an example. So how is the city of Sacramento planning to address this likelihood of worsening climate extremes in the future, but also the obstacles that the city faces?
Yeah, a big problem, and this is not just a problem for Sacramento, but for many cities like Sacramento, is that Sacramento was built in an area that naturally floods in a floodplain. So, you know, homes were built in floodplains, and even though cities like Sacramento have levee systems to kind of help manage that, it's not something we can completely control. Cities are trying to respond to that now, and Tom told me that there are definitely some things cities can do to reduce costs.
The study that we did didn't consider changes like increase in exposure or changes in vulnerability. So if we're able to limit new construction in floodplains, or if we're able to increase the resilience of communities, then we may be able to further limit future damages.
So his estimates aren't, you know, this exact prediction of our future. You know, we can still make a change now and really anticipate what's coming. But that does mean that we need to act now, and obviously, that does come with its own costs. I also talked to Jennifer Venema about that. She's the city's climate action lead. The city doesn't have, you know, exact costs attached to future storms, but she told me that right now there are projects the city is focusing its efforts on in order to shelter vulnerable residents during winter storms. You know, think warming and cooling centers. But what she told me is that the city really wants to build those out so it can serve a wider group of people. Mm-hmm.
Projects like that will be more important as we move forward to ensure we have a broad network of how we can activate and provide safe options for our residents.
Right. And that's an important point because, you know, these risks come as Sacramento, along with many other cities, have a record number of people experiencing homelessness. So, Kristen, I mean, this initiative that the city's talking about, it follows unhoused people who died in Sacramento during January storms.
Exactly. The coroner's office said two unhoused people were found dead with trees on top of their tents in early January. The office identified them as Rebecca Rode, age 40, and Steven Sorensen, age 61. They were found in the city of Sacramento, near the river, and in North Highlands. Our colleague Chris Nichols has reported on how some unhoused people say it's difficult to access shelters scattered in the region. And then there are also, you know, trust issues and all of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of barriers. You know, we're hearing a lot that there are these estimates, right, that costs are going to go up. But they're estimates, right? And they can't give a specific number. When you're having conversations with the people for both of your pieces or the piece that you collaborated on, did you learn more about why they can't give a more accurate estimate on how future winter storms will cost? Kristen, I'll start with you.
On the city level, Bowers says it's almost impossible to estimate the cost of future atmospheric river storms or any disaster. I mean, he was giving, you know, wildfires or civil unrest as an example, because a variety of factors influence the severity of storm damage. A windy rainstorm might cause more damage if previous rain left the ground saturated, for example.
Yeah, and like I'd mentioned earlier, the variability of the weather here is a huge part of why it's hard to estimate, and also partially why when I was talking to Jennifer Venema with the city, she mentioned that a lot of their efforts are aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions, which has, you know, the after effect of hopefully reducing the severity of these storms. So there are other ways we can look at this too, not just preparing for that cost, but for the cost of reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah. And our water infrastructure was built according to historic data. And now with climate change, you know, that data and those records are getting broken, right?
It's totally different. Yeah. The researcher I talked to specifically said that the plans we made then were for a climate that just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Finally, I mean, obviously, this is just you're in the thick of it. You know, we're talking about the future. So how is this going to shape both of your reporting moving forward?
Yeah, I think that it's really important to look at not just how we can plan for this extreme weather in the future, but, you know, how logistically are we going to make that happen? You know, what are the costs of that? California has these huge plans in so many different sectors, you know, when it comes to electrification and climate action plans, all of that. And I think the cost is something that people are really curious about. And I think that makes sense. So I think moving forward, that's definitely something I want to be bringing into my reporting a little bit more, just investigating how we financially plan for that.
On the city level, when it comes to those costs, I learned that the city actually uses special codes to track costs for emergencies. So for future extreme weather, I know I can request records because they keep track of all that so they can make sure they get reimbursed through insurance or through FEMA. And, you know, as journalists, we can also ask for those records. Once it's available, I might request that breakdown just to see how things are paid out, how much the city had to pay out of pocket, how much taxpayers had to pay, and I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, data isn't always sexy and it's very time consuming, but it is important.
Yes.
Kristen and Manola, thank you both so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That is CAP Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb and environmental reporter Manola Sakaida sharing their reporting on the financial costs the city of Sacramento endured from winter storms in January and why future storms may be even more expensive. Still ahead, the Sacramento Kings' remarkable season has come to an end. We'll reflect on the Kings' first playoff appearance in more than 16 years. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.